10 ways that you can get through the end of any relationship. What's up, everybody? This is Diary of an Empath, and welcome back to today's episode. I'm back with another solo episode, and I want to talk about ways that we can get through the end of a relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship, or a relationship that you've had for 20 years, a relationship that you've had for 6 months. It's never easy, especially when it comes to making decisions that are going to serve our highest good. A lot of people, I think, have been through the dynamics of highs and lows in a relationship, struggling with the concept of, do I leave? Do I stay? I love so many things about this person, but I also hate so many things about the way that this person makes me feel. Or maybe you've just outgrown a relationship. Sometimes we just go through a different journey than our partner. Sometimes people change. Sometimes we see that we're no longer compatible. And sometimes a relationship is abusive. And sometimes it's just downright toxic. So today we're going to take you through 10 ways that can help you to get to that next level of healing, to move on from a relationship and start your healing journey and start to move forward. So number one, acknowledge your feelings. Your feelings are important to recognize, and it's important to accept your emotions for what they are, not to ignore them, not to minimize them. Your feelings are valid. When you're feeling confused, that's valid. When you're feeling hurt, that's valid. And it's also important to note that going through breakups and going through the end stages of relationships often mimics the grief system. And when we're grieving, it's totally normal to feel anger and then go from anger to resentment, from resentment to sadness, from sadness to acceptance, back to anger again. And sometimes this can flip in the matter of an hour. Sometimes it's literally hour to hour. Sometimes it's day to day. You can have a good day. You can have a really bad day, or you could be triggered by a memory of something and then you're sad the next moment. So it's perfectly normal to have a very big mix of emotions and how this might feel. And keep in mind that this is going to be different for everybody. There are some situations for some people who, especially if you're a little bit more dismissive avoidant, that it may be and feel very easy to move on. It doesn't mean that the feelings aren't there, but we all figure out a way to get our needs met. And for some people, getting their needs met and protecting themselves is shutting off, right? So whatever the feelings that are coming up for you, it's okay to feel them. Don't ignore them. Journal about them. But try not to react based off of emotion and make decisions when you are in an emotional state of mind. We have different parts of our brain that work for different reasons. And one of the oldest parts of our brain, the limbic system, it's where our emotional components are stored, right? Like when we were younger, we had that fight or flight system of our brain that first develops. It helps us survive. Our emotional part of the brain, our limbic system, is the second to start to create itself. And that prefrontal cortex, the executive part of our brain, is the last to form. For a lot of people, it doesn't fully form until the age of like 24, 25, 26. So it's really important to try not to make decisions when you are in an emotional standpoint. Emotions are good. Emotions are normal. But when you're making decisions, it's really better to wait until you get more in a wise mind, logical, rational reasoning state, so you can use that prefrontal cortex. And a great way to do this is by journaling and writing down your feelings. This allows us to take the information from the limbic part of our brain to that prefrontal cortex, so we can essentially reprocess whatever those feelings are in a different part of the brain that helps us use reasoning and logic and awareness to hopefully help to guide us to make a decision that's going to be effective for us. But acknowledging your feelings, discussing them, recognizing them, accepting this is all a great step towards your healing. Step number two, seeking support. So leaning on friends, family, therapist, any type of support system that you have is really important. And I really want to acknowledge the fact that not everybody has a support system, because there are some relationships that their partner may have isolated them. They have maybe felt more isolated because of shame and embarrassment or abuse. So I really want to be empathetic towards the fact that not everybody has that support system. But if you do have that support system, this is a really great time to lean on that support system to say, hey, like, I'm going through this really hard time. I need some extra support right now. And be very specific with what you're looking for. I'm not looking for problem solving right now. I'm just looking to vent. I'm looking to just feel supported. Or maybe you are looking for advice and problem solving. And I think that when you can communicate what you're wanting from that support system, it allows that support system to be effective with what you need in that moment. And this is another good reason why I tell people that it's really important to have a sense of identity outside of relationships, because if that relationship fails, and I hate to be like that negative person if it fails, but if it does, you need to still be able to have that sense of identity to fall back on and to still have that part of you that still exists. Because if you're so codependent in a relationship that you put your entire identity into that relationship, if that relationship no longer exists, then it can feel very devastating and like you lost a huge part of who you are. And in many senses, you know, you have, especially if you were with somebody who was a big part of your life, but having that sense of identity outside of a relationship still keeps that core part of who you are very alive and well, and something to fall back on and things that you can focus on and still have and understand and know who you are outside of that relationship. But leaning on friends and family, seeking professional help, seeking a therapist, you know, I'm biased, I am a therapist, but I find that it's really helpful. You know, even therapists have therapy. And I also do a lot of spiritual work myself, as most of you know. And I have found that spiritual work can be really, really beneficial, and that can be an added support system. I've had more people that have come to me for tarot readings that have found more peace and validation than they have for any other support system that they've had. And a lot of times they already knew the answers. Don't underestimate your intuition, but sometimes people just need that extra validation to know that they're not going crazy, because especially if they've been in a relationship where the main event was them feeling like they're going crazy, right? If their partner was gaslighting them, or if there was abuse or projecting. And if you feel like you're constantly questioning your own reality, yeah, you're going to question your intuition. And so sometimes just having that validation is enough for that person to understand, like, okay, it's not just me. Like, I'm not making this up. This is actually really happening. And you know what? Yes. Okay. I do need to exit this relationship. All right. Number three, self-care practices. Self-care is not just about going to get your nails done. It can be, right? But self-care is prioritizing your sleep, prioritizing your boundaries, not demanding. There's a difference between demand and control versus boundaries and upholding your boundaries. Self-care is taking care of your body and your temple, your the food that you intake, the movements that you give your body, the love that you give your body when you are nourishing it, the way that you talk to yourself, your mental health. All of that is part of your self-care. Journaling, therapy, hobbies, anything that's going to maintain that mental and emotional support is extremely helpful, and it's empowering. Because when you can take care of yourself and you have a sense of self-care, that can feel very empowering, especially if you've been giving a lot of energy to a relationship, or if there's been a relationship that's been draining you. So all of a sudden, when you're putting all of this energy back into yourself, it's refilling that cup again. It's filling the tank back up, especially if somebody was draining that tank over and over and over and over again. So that sense of self-care is important. And then what I would encourage you is that when you go into this next relationship, this next friendship, or even watering the friendships that you have outside of this one, move forward with self-care. Don't let that stop. Continue with your self-care. You should always put yourself first. And a lot of people have been conditioned from when they were kids to think that if they water them their own seeds, that it's selfish, because that's what they were told by their parents or by whoever was in their life. You know, especially if the generation of your parents was, you need to help out, you need to do this. Oh, you want to do something for yourself? You're selfish. So if somebody's been conditioned to think that, it's going to be really hard to implement that self-care when every relationship in their life has essentially been telling them that they shouldn't, or that they're selfish for doing so, or they're punished when they do that. So it's a challenge. And if that's the case, I would say start with something small. Going to get a coffee, going to, get your nails done, journaling in the morning, doing little things and taking baby steps to implement that self-care until you can feel comfortable enough to implement something else. Okay, step number four, setting boundaries. So establishing clear boundaries with, I want to first start out by, if it's a romantic relationship or whoever it is, to establish boundaries with that person, especially if they're trying to re-enter the relationship or break that no contact, especially if it was a toxic dynamic, because oftentimes when you shut the door, they sometimes will knock to see if the door is still cracked. Having those really set solid boundaries is extremely vital. And remember, it is up to you to uphold that boundary. So that upholding that boundary may look like blocking. It may look like leaving the room if you're feeling disrespected, especially if you have to co-parent. You know, you never know when you have to keep contact with people. Those boundaries are up to you to communicate, and they're up to you to uphold. A boundary is different than a command, and a boundary is different than control. Okay, so here's a good example of a boundary, like for porn. You can't watch porn. That's more of a rule and more of a command. Whereas if you say something, I'm going to separate myself from the relationship if you continue to watch pornography, because that is something I'm uncomfortable with. That is a rule and a command versus a boundary. And I know this is going to sound harsh, but at the end of the day, whenever you have a parent-child dynamic in a relationship, nobody wants to sleep with their mother. Nobody wants to sleep with their child. Boundaries are up to you to communicate, and they are up to you to uphold. Your partner or whoever it is may not respect the boundary. And so if they don't, you have to decide what that looks like for you to uphold the boundary. Number five, reflecting and learning. This is where you have to ask yourself, what is the lesson for me to learn from this relationship? What are the experiences from this relationship that I can take on to the next one so that I can grow and that I can do better, that I can have a healthier dynamic? There's always a lesson there, good or bad, within yourself, within what you've learned, what you don't want, what you do want. And if you don't learn the lessons, the universe will continue to present you with the same or similar situations until you do. So don't be surprised that if you don't learn the lesson, that you end up in another toxic dynamic and end up questioning yourself on, how did I end up back here? Now, with that being said, there are a lot of people who are really good at manipulating, but there's a point in that time frame where it's like, do I want to stick around and find out, or do I have enough information to know that this is not the relationship for me? And that's really where I think a lot of those lessons can come in. Number six, creating a support system. So this is a little bit different than seeking support. It overlaps, but creating a support system is really surrounding yourself with the positive influences and individuals who uplift and encourage you during this transition period. So I really want to emphasize how easy it is to get into echo chambers of men ain't shit, or this person ain't shit, or they ain't shit. And yeah, that can feel uplifting, but that's not really helping you to grow and to learn. And it's really important that you keep in mind the company you keep, the vibrations you're on, the vibrations they're on, and how that is going to match your energy and what you attract. So yes, you can choose to stay in a echo chamber of, I was with a narcissist, you're with a narcissist, men ain't shit, blah, blah, blah. But does that help you grow? You get to decide that. Is it effective for you? Number 7, embracing change. So change can be scary. It can be different. We don't know what the future holds, but embrace it. Sometimes change is good. Change is inevitable. Seasons change. Sometimes we're only meant to have a friendship or a relationship for a season. And some are meant to only last half of a season, and some are meant to last a lifetime. Don't be scared of change, because if you stayed the same your whole life, what good is that? How can you grow from that? You have to be able to change in order to grow. So don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Number 8, taking time for yourself. This goes in with the self-care component. Stress the importance of taking care of yourself. Focus on your self-discovery. Focus on your self-improvement. It's going to be really foreign for some of you who have never taken care of yourself or who have been taught not to implement yourself first, but you have to. If you can't show up to the world with the glass full and you're only showing up with, I don't know, a quarter cup, and that is being drained from you every day, it's going to be really, really hard to move through relationships, move through the world, and be the best version of yourself. You have to take time for yourself in order to recharge your energy. It is non-negotiable. That's got to be your priority. Your health has got to be your foundation. That includes your mental health. Because if that foundation has a crack in it, nothing else is going to be able to stand on top of it. You have to take care of that foundation. Number 9. This is a hard one, forgiveness and radical acceptance. Now, I don't feel like you always have to forgive in order to move on, especially if there's something that's been unforgivable. But radical acceptance is different. Radical acceptance is not necessarily forgiving. It's not saying that the person gets away with it. It is not giving someone a free pass to treat you like shit. It is just saying that I cannot change the past. I cannot change what is. And I cannot control what may or may never happen in the future. So I'm going to radically accept, because I cannot control it and I cannot change it, so I don't prolong my own suffering. That is radical acceptance. So if your spouse cheated on you, you cannot change the fact that he cheated. You cannot change the fact that he is not a compatible person for you right now. And you cannot control the future of the idealistic view of who you wanted him to be and the idealistic future that you had in your head of where it would be, where that future marriage would be, or where that future would be with your spouse, or the family that you thought you would have, or the mother that you thought you would have. You have to accept the fact that that may never happen, or that it will never happen. And that's a hard pill to swallow. But it does not mean that they get away with what they did or the hurt that they caused. It just means that you're letting go of what you cannot control, so that way you do not get to suffer throughout your lifetime for it. You release that energy. Finally, number 10, staying positive. Cultivating a positive mindset, practicing gratitude, staying hopeful about the future, and just knowing that the pain's only temporary. It really is. It can feel really big and it can feel like it'll never go away, but I promise you it will. I promise you it will. And every day will get a little bit better. And the more that you pour into yourself, the faster that healing journey will move along and you'll start feeling better. And there might be things that stay with you for a long time, but I can guarantee you that you're resilient and you're strong enough to get through whatever this breakup is. And if you follow these 10 steps, I assure you that things will move along a lot quicker than if you don't. I hope that for anyone going through this, that this was helpful. And as always, stay tuned for future episodes. I have so many. And for those of you that are not subscribed, a lot of you listen that don't subscribe to the podcast, it would mean a lot to me if you did. And that way you can listen to new episodes. And it helps me to be able to continue to do this. I've been doing this for 3 years and it's a lot sometimes. So your guys' support means a lot. It's the only thing I'll ever ask of you. appreciate you, love you guys, and stay tuned into the next episode of Diary of an Empath.